it's very much it's just a death in the family. You know, the for us Catholics, like, I mean, the Holy Father is seen as our spiritual father. And I mean, there's just that air of somberness and very much of bereavement at this moment in time. Like, I mean, the beautiful thing, listening to the thousands upon thousands that are going through there, you know, and every so often you'd stop and you might be talking with somebody or whatever, and they would just say, like, I mean, that he was one of our own. You know, he spoke personally to everybody, and he was a Christ-like figure for so many. And many not of the Catholic faith and of no faith, but he was just he had that beautiful, as he often said himself, in reference to God, in reference to Christ. You know, he used three words that he certainly embodied in his own life, and that was the closeness of God, that was the compassion of God, and the tenderness of God. And those three words especially sum up the life of Pope Francis.
And the Pope you described, very familiar to many of us, if not all of us. But from your own personal perspective, what level of personal interaction had you with Pope Francis, and what can you tell us about that, Father Eamon?
Well, Greg, any time that I would have met Pope Francis, spoken with him, the first thing he did, he would always stick up his thumb. And it was just that beautiful gesture that of familiarity. And I met him first and foremost here through the work in the office on numerous occasions. I would have sat down with him and spoken directly with him and received recommendations and advice from him. And that then moved into a more personal relationship about 2 years ago, when Dad was quite ill and going through treatment and all of that, and the Pope would be send over messages on a daily basis, just asking how he was, you know, just let your father know, let your mother know, let your family know that I'm praying for him. And then
how did that feel, I find that incredibly special. How did it feel to have the Pope take such a personal interest in, you know, something you and your family were going through? It must have been incredibly special.
Look, I mean, Greg, you're talking here to a young fellow from Downings. You know, who could ever have imagined that the Pope would even be remotely... he'd be interested, yes, but familiar with us. You know, you would never think such things. But what was beautiful was that, you know, because, of course, it's almost like the civil service here, you know, you have set days of holidays and that, and then if you have someone sick in the family, set days. So I'd only, I would only have a number of days to get home, you know, those final days of Dad's sickness, or the few days, you know, for the funeral and burial and what have you. But we had a meeting with the Pope, and there were a few hundred at it. And as the Pope was leaving, he called me out, and he said to me, "It's time for you to go home." He said, "Your father has a very short period of time left." And he said, "You're very blessed as a family to be able to care for your father at this moment in time." He said, "You know I'm praying for him." But he said, "Now you need to go home because your father's dying." I got home, and Dad was with us for 2 weeks. The day that I got home was Dad's last lucid day. And, it was just, we were overwhelmed. And then he said, "You know, and when, after it's all over, and if your mother comes to Rome, bring your mother to meet me," which is then later on, sometime after that, which I did, along with my elder brother, Dennis. So Mam, my brother and myself, we called over to see Pope Francis. And at the time, he himself was quite ill with, he had a very bad infection. And I tried to cancel that meeting, and he insisted. He said, "No, your mother, you must bring her over." So we went over, and he was sitting in a sitting room. And when we walked in the door, he gestured to Mam to come over and sit beside him, and he just sat holding her hand, and she sat holding his hand, and it was absolutely beautiful. And at that point, he said, when we walked in, he said, "I'm making you, I'm appointing you a canon to St. Mary Major's Basilica." The hilarious thing about that was that he said it three times during the conversation of maybe about half an hour, and I thought he was joking, because canon of a basilica is usually for someone who's retired or for somebody who's given a lifelong service, you know, to the Holy Father and the Universal Church. And here was this relatively young fella, you know. So I thought he was joking. But Mam, who didn't speak a word of Italian, when we left the meeting, she says, I think he's appointed you to that place. And I said, ma'am, that's impossible. I said, don't worry about it. So the next morning, 8:05, I arrive into the office and the rest is history.
Is there a greater significant, as significant as it is to that appointment, given Pope Francis's love and attachment to St. Mary Major? In other words, did he...
Greg, good question.
Yeah, I wonder, did he say, this is the person who I can entrust with this role in something that's as close to my heart as it is?
Okay, that is a great question. I'll tell you why. Because he had selected, you know, there were seven of us being appointed that day. And he had said, you know, I know this from himself at this point, but he said, you know, I would like the Irishman on that because I have a great love for Ireland. And, you know, I would like an English speaker present in the Basilica because his intention was to renew. He wanted to renew all the papal basilicas, of which there are four. And this one of St. Mary Major's to especially have it a place of prayer, primarily a place of prayer. And then he said, especially where everybody who comes through those doors, whether pilgrims or tourists, but that they encounter the love and the welcome and the compassion of Christ. And so, you know, he wanted a complete renewal of those basilicas. And that's why if you go into the basilica today, you'll have one of the canons who is there welcoming and blessing pilgrims and really trying to, you know, just have pilgrims as they enter the basilica have an experience of prayer, encounter the love and the mercy of God, and also to be received as a brother and a sister in Christ.
The greatest tragedy, or one of the greatest tragedies ever for us here in County Donegal, was the awful explosion in Chrysler, and the Pope was made aware of that and sent words which I know were very important at the most difficult of time. Talk to me about how you brought this to Pope Francis's awareness, and I know you're short on time, Canon, but how that panned out.
I suppose it was making the headlines the world over, and word came to me really from the Holy Father to say that he had heard about this and he was praying. So then, you know, I had occasion then just to bring it up with him. And the first thing he wanted to do was to just assure everybody of that he was heartbroken for the situation, that he wanted to be really close to the situation, and especially that he wanted to, in a small way, but to send the gesture of sending over the rosary beads that were then sent over to and given to our own Father John Joe there. And in that way, he just wanted to express his closeness, and then he followed up on a daily basis, regularly just asking about that, the situation, how people were doing, and just wanted to assure everybody of his closeness and of his prayer, and that he wanted to really be with. Again, as I said at the beginning there, Greg, you know, that, he really embodied the life and the message of Christ, which was that love and mercy of God for everybody, that closeness, that tenderness, and that compassion of God for everybody.
And very finally, and as briefly as you wish, Canon Father Eamon McLaughlin, will you be at the funeral tomorrow? Have you a role, pardon my ignorance, in that question, in the funeral?
Listen, Greg, not at all. There's no ignorance in that question. Look, this is all new to me. I've been to different papal funerals and that before, but what's new in this occasion is that as being one of the canons, you know, we'll be in the basilica. You probably know more about the funeral than I do because, I've been in the office all the time, so, you know, I haven't been following a lot of what the protocol would be in that. But I understand that it's going to be private in the basilica, and I know that we as the canons will be in there to receive the remains, along with what will be beautiful. I think there's about 40 of the, you know, known to the world as the poor, but known to Pope Francis and to Christ as the wealthy. Those who are especially rich, when Pope Francis' remains arrive at the Basilica tomorrow, they'll be received by 40 of of the poor, and that's a mix of those who are on the margins, those who feel isolated, those who are suffering. So they're going to be there to receive the remains first, and then the body will come into the basilica. The tomb itself is ready, and you know, we'll go through the rite then of burial. And then, Greg, just to say to all the listeners, and this is of no merit of mine, this is completely the grace of God, on a daily basis at 6:30 each morning in the basilica. The basilica opens at 7:05 in the morning. I'm usually down about 6:30, and I'll have the tomb all to myself. So I just want to assure everybody that, you know, I want to, as Pope Francis would do, and as he asks of us canons to do, to carry people with us in prayer, to be close to people, to let them know the love and the mercy of God. But just to assure everybody of that, I'd be praying for your intentions on Monday morning at 6:30 in front of the tomb in the silence of the Basilica of St. Mary Majors. So praying for everybody's intentions on Monday morning at 6:30.
Remarkable.
And just invite and ask everybody, as Pope Francis always asked of us, to pray for him.
Canon Father Eamon McLaughlin, thank you for joining us. I know you're very busy. I know you're a very proud Downings man. I know Downings and Donegal is very proud of you, and you're doing us proud over there. Thank you so very much for your time.
Greg, thank you, and to all the team.